advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
Well, I got myself a little whiskey.
Dude, yikes.
So, I was almost upset the other day because I was like, how did I get, like, this... I got this reputation as, like, the alcoholic hot sauce lover guy.
You are.
No, I fucking drink. The only time I drink is on the podcast.
You know why they call Freddy Four Fingers? Because he likes to fucking gamble. That's why. That's how you get a nickname.
That's not a nickname. I became an alcoholic. I only drink on Sunday, and I only...
And you sold it, though.
I don't even... I drink, like, a finger. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Brad over here is fucking guzzling.
This is a tiny glass. This is, like...
Let me have a picture of that. You already drank a bunch of that. I should have posted that.
No, this is, like, it's like a small... How big is this? That's, like, one shot.
It's my
this
ass.
Is a small...
This
a small,
is a shot.
No.
Yes.
That's a lot. That's, like, a third of a shot. No, this is good.
No, that's this is good. Like, that's a lot.
It's raining outside. You know what, really, though? Brent's just complaining about drinking and asking. And, you know, I thought about it. Like, I hadn't really been hitting the whiskey because I'm not an alcoholic like Brent.
You guys did this to me.
I thought about it, though, because there's really not. Actually, no, this Pendleton Midnight is pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
There's not a whiskey in our collection that I'm really attached to. I mean, there's not one that I'm like, I have to drink it. So I don't know. I'm just not.
Are you fishing for whiskey? It sounds like you're fishing for whiskey.
I kind of am.
Like you want someone to close you
There's
on
people.
It.
Yeah, I don't know. Like we've gotten all kinds of different bottles from a bunch of different places from different parts of the world. And I'm just not sold on any of them. Like the Cask Isle's good. It's too smoky for me. Like the JP Whispers. I mean, they're all good. They're all good, but they're just not my whiskey.
I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're going to send us something, don't send us hot sauce. I'm giving it away immediately, just so you know.
Yep.
It is offensive.
Yeah, I go Tecco. That's it.
It is offensive. It's shortened now to Tecco.
It's Tecco now. No.
It's just Tecco.
For the cool. For those
it's not
who
Yukata
know.
Tecca.
Yeah.
And
Yukata. That's what it was.
Yukata.
I got to find that fucking kid. I'm going to make him famous, dude. Brad doesn't want him to get any credit, but there's a kid that calls Yucateco hot sauce Yukata.
Yukata.
And he puts it on like fucking goldfish crackers in a Ziploc bag and eats it with fucking like.
His fingers.
Disastrous fucking fingers. Like, that shit is hot. You can't fucking get. That's my trick to Yucateco is his, get it in your mouth without touching your fucking
his,
lips.
And his fingers, look like San Andreas fault lines.
Just fucking coated. Like
dude, it was like it's he was just gnarly. Fucking greasy fingered eating that shit. It's on his face. I got to give him credit for that. But he said he was going to do the Yukata challenge.
I'd say he'd put it in eyedroppers and drop it in his eyes.
Oh.
That's a challenge for him.
Nope.
No, not you. Him. He's stupid. He'll do it.
Your fucking cartoon laugh has just gotten better and better. You're like Space Race over there. What was that dog's name on Space Race?
It was, we said it in the last episode.
Weasley or
Weasley,
something?
Weasley, yeah.
No, that's Harry Potter.
The guy is Snively Whiplash.
Snively.
That's the main guy, but his dog is the one who laughs.
Someone will tell us.
Dog. Yeah, somebody will tell us.
Somebody will tell us, and then we'll be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Talking dolphins?
Exactly right.
I'll get no less than five messages about some shit I don't remember. You
know, yeah, and I did want to shout this out before we get into anything else. There's been some people asking about t-shirts and stuff, and I know we've mentioned get a hold of us on Facebook or Messenger or Instagram, whatever, and you can order them over the phone.
It's been happening.
Now.
I've been doing it, yeah.
Yeah, you can order them over the phone. We are close to having the site up finally where we have a shop.
Yep.
So that's thanks to our good friend Alan,
who's a professional. Sexy. It's sexy as fuck. It looks good. Nice.
Yeah, it looks good. He's put a lot of work into it, and we appreciate it. The weight is good for us. Like nobody else is probably going to care, but it's good for us. So, but yeah, we will have a shop up soon. We'll have t-shirts, coffee mugs, all the stuff that you can get, stickers. All the stuff that we have. Yeah, stock. Yeah, and it will be good. There's going to be some hidden stuff on there. We're trying to do some hidden stuff.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
It will be legit.
So
yeah, but don't mail us hot sauce. I'll fucking throw that shit away.
But
yeah.
Do mail us whiskey.
Yeah, thanks for the gesture. I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm telling you right now, from here on out, now I'm not a dick when I throw it away, because don't send it. I'll fucking toss it.
Depends on how you toss it.
Yeah, you just
you could toss it even though you said it and still be a dick.
I fucking harshly tossed it. I filmed it. I'm gonna post that one I threw.
You should. As a matter of fact,
don't spend 88 cents on some fucking hot sauce I'm not gonna eat, and then $5
unless you want to see Brent Instagram a video of him throwing away the hot sauce angry. That's good.
I'm gonna take it back out and like give it to a homeless guy or something though.
I wouldn't fuck a homeless guy.
Leave it. Especially if it's the 88 cents one. You know what it is. He's homeless. I ain't saying the fucking name.
He's homeless for a reason.
Spicy ketchup. That's what it's called.
Yeah. Fucking no shoes, ripped up shirt. Bullshit.
I don't know what Brad's talking about.
Either of you are talking about.
I'm talking about bums. Right, Brent's talking about something else.
Throwing away hot sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah. No unsealed homemade food.
Yep.
And no fucking hot sauce. We get the craziest shit. I got to get this guy's name. Actually, fuck, I should have had it. I suck at this. I got a picture of it, buddy. You sent us a bunch of cool skate stickers and shit. Like, you sent us some Lee Harvey Oswald stickers. Oh, actually, fuck, I got to say it. I actually have to, like, take a break and go get it to show Dave. He sent you a fucking hat. I got to get it. Dave hasn't seen it.
We'll pause real quick. Pause. Okay. Pause. First time pause ever. Okay, so Brent went and got the package and gave it to Dave. And Dave had a
fucking awesome.
So Tyson Cantrell, is that his name?
Yes.
Is he black?
I don't know.
You black, Tyson?
Nah, he's from, Washington. Oh, Utah.
What, there's no black people in Utah?
Nope.
Nope. He has magic underwear.
I don't know why this matters. I'm just like,
if he lives in Utah, he has magic underwear. So,
well, yeah. There's just a bunch of dope shit, really cool stickers. Oh, fucking badass.
Yeah, is that just for Dave?
Well, the hat's for Dave, clearly.
It say? Vegan lover?
What's it say?
A Napa.
It's a Napa hat, but it's from Chama, New Mexico.
That's kind of cool.
I think it said on the postcard that he sent us that he stole it from his, like, he stole it off someone's desk.
So it's worn? It's like a worn hat?
I think it might be used.
Yeah. Oh, I'm all good with that.
Wow.
Stole this hat off my father-in-law's desk.
Okay, all right.
Pretty random. I really enjoy the show. Thanks for all the hard work that goes into your show. I need some of those Gary Coleman stickers. He's out here all the time.
See, I knew it was worth going up there and getting it.
It was worth going up there. And for those who don't know, Chama, New Mexico is where I've set my trilogy of novels, and the first one is called Chama, New Mexico. So that's really badass.
That's cool.
Thank you very much.
Very nice.
And the They Live sticker is fucking awesome.
I don't get some of that. I didn't know all of it. One of my skater buddies came in and knew a bunch of shit off there. So clearly this man is a skater.
An X-Files I Want to Believe sticker. There's some cool shit in there. Thank you very much. That's legit. Some
Lee Harvey stuff.
Laptop stickers.
Yeah, we'll put them on the refrigerator too, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
When you send us weird stickers and we don't know what they are, they go on the front of the mini fridge where we keep the beer.
Right.
So.
Yep. Yeah, I'll probably steal that They Live one and stick it on my computer.
No, you will do no such thing.
Awesome.
That's cool, yeah. You can do that.
All right.
Oh, that's a sweet sticker.
That is.
You see that Lee Harvey one? Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do paper, rock, scissors.
It's going to be good.
I was going to cock wrestle you.
Yeah.
How many cock push-ups can you do? I could do one. So I bet you can't do that.
No.
One cock push-up. So,
Is that what you're sucking on? A push-up cock?
No, it's different than that.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a blowjob.
Those
are endless unless my jaw gets tired.
Yeah.
Cock push-ups?
You get locked jaw every once in a while.
You only got to do one. It's just about balance, really.
Yeah. Has your jaw ever got stuck open?
It happens.
Well, there you know.
I'm not embarrassed.
Yeah.
I don't know why you guys are getting so awkward. But, man, my pause to go get that hat really fucked up the flow.
Yeah.
That was our first ever.
No, your dick sucking fucked up the flow.
Yeah, the dick sucking is what fucked up the flow.
I built 1,000 bridges. You guys fucking judge me for the one dick.
Yep. Your cock sucking the rest of your life.
Yep. That's right.
You said a lot of dicks, though, not one.
So
your mom's gonna learn a lot.
It
was endless
blowjobs. It was one dick. It was endless blowjobs.
Oh, it's like a never ending whore.
I used to do a lot of yoga. Oh. I'll just say that.
It's like endless appetizers.
It was mine. I've had two ribs.
Never ending onion rings.
Yeah.
So, topic. I'm waiting.
Ruby Ridge.
Building drama.
Oh. Ruby Ridge.
I don't know what we're talking about. Every time I say I don't know what we're talking about, take a drink.
So we've talked about a lot of different 90s conspiracy theories, and I guess this isn't really a conspiracy theory. We've talked about different groups from the 90s. We talked about Waco and the Branch Davidians. We talked about the Oklahoma City bombing, and these are all kind of lumped together because they're all kind of this 1990s sort of white American terrorist cell group kind of a mindset.
Militia.
Yeah, militia kind of a thing going on. Even though somebody got really pissed off at us on our website and said Oklahoma City.
Yeah, they were angry about about militias not being terrorist groups or something like that. Like, and I think we made, because I think like I'm really really torn on the Oklahoma City bombing thing. Like Timothy McVeigh was a patsy in my eyes. Like I said, I'm not the typical conspiracy person to go along with stuff, but when the evidence leads to what it leads about? To,
like we must have said,
yeah, we said probably we were citing on the terrorist militia group, you know, like they, and saying that the militia groups aren't terrorists or whatever. Like, honestly, I don't even remember, but yeah, it was
I think he was pissed off because we never labeled them a terrorist group.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I think we did.
Well, they were considered a terrorist group, but I think right. I might've said that I don't think, when did militias become terrorists? You know, right. Like,
well, I mean, if they did, I mean, if those people really did blow up the Oklahoma City,
yeah.
A militia, you know, isn't,
which they didn't.
They're not a terrorist group. Yeah. The act in which they commit would label them so. Right. So yeah, you can't say one is the other.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
It's like,
and nothing. I mean, nothing at Ruby Ridge has to do with terrorism.
Yeah,
like these people aren't terrorists. They might have been fucking dumbasses, but they weren't.
Yeah, there's some
terrorists.
Strange stuff. Yeah, like I watched, you know, documentaries and whatnot. It's like, oh, like when you actually hear him, he seems pretty fucking normal. And then you hear like some of the backstory about claims, and it's, you're like, weird, I don't know. Man. This guy kind of talking about God a little bit and fucking hating black people. Like, I don't know what's going on here. Yeah.
Right. So Ruby Ridge, for those who don't know anything at all about it, there was a standoff in Ruby Ridge in 1992. The feds against a family who was sort of hiding out at a cabin in Ruby Ridge. This was in Boundary County, Idaho, about 40 miles from the Canadian border. It was near Naples, Idaho. And we'll get into all the details, of course, but ultimately, you know, spoiler alert, there was a standoff between multiple federal agencies and a family staying in this cabin in Ruby Ridge, and a lot of people got killed, and it was sketchy.
A lot of people got killed.
No,
it's,
that's true.
Fucking sketchy. Yeah.
It is sketchy. A handful of people got killed, and it was sketchy.
Yeah. And I would say if listen to this and then go back and listen to our Waco episode, because it kind of, kind of goes hand in hand of why David Koresh went nuts, and or why people think David Koresh went nuts, and the FBI that was there and all that good stuff. So it's all intertangled and intertwined.
I feel like there's some
interweaved.
There's like, at this point in time, there was like board government agencies with new toys they hadn't had to fucking test, like idle hands or something, and like some miscommunication or like an improper fucking.
Yeah, this whole, the Ruby Ridge thing is it's not what I expected. To be honest, I didn't know very much about it. I knew there was a standoff. I knew the feds were involved. I knew people got killed.
I knew a baby got shot.
I know a lot of people scream Ruby, like whenever there's a terrorist. They'll scream Ruby Ridge because it like sort of is synonymous with the government like fucking up and killing people that didn't deserve it. But there was a lot of sketchy shit going on with the
with some family.
There's a lot of he said she
but
said.
But it doesn't. You know what the thing is? Like, so he fucking takes off because he doesn't want to be bothered by the government. It really is strange because all he wanted to do, according to him, was be left alone. The entire reason that he moved to seclusion was to, because he was a little bit anti-government.
Yeah.
The big thing that started, the catalyst catalyst for him is he wanted to homeschool his child, but where he lived in Idaho or whatever, it was illegal to homeschool your children. Mm-hmm. So they fucking sold all their shit, got their bills paid, packed up, and drove off, and then ended up buying that plot of land and building a fucking plywood cabin, which starts to sound a little weird. Yeah. It looked like a normal cabin though, but it's like,
so yeah, so here's the thing. So the main guy, Randy Weaver, he volunteered, like Vietnam breaks out, and obviously this stuff happens in the 90s, so it's post Vietnam. But when Vietnam broke out and he was a young man, he signed up, he volunteered, did three tours. He ends up becoming a factory worker. He was a Army combat engineer. He actually ironically went to the University of Northern Iowa after he got out of the service, where he studied criminal justice because he was interested in law enforcement and potentially being an FBI agent one day. Which makes it weird.
Yeah. There's some weird Lee Harvey shit going on.
Right.
Here.
It gets a little bit weird. Another part of the catalyst, aside from just wanting to homeschool his children, is he also lost his job at a tractor factory. So the two things combined sort of made him say, fuck it. And in 1983, he bought 20 acres in Ruby Ridge near Naples up in Idaho. And they started building a cabin, and they just moved there to be off the grid, to homeschool their children, to fucking not be on the radar, to not deal with, you know,
pretty remote too. It's like 3 miles on a dirt road and then 3 miles on a crazier dirt road. Right. Like it was pretty far away from shit.
And they've got multiple children. I mean, granted, they moved there in 83 and the whole siege didn't happen until 92. But during the siege, there were multiple children. He had one kid, a daughter named Sarah, who was 16, a son named Samuel, who was 14, a daughter named Rachel, who was 10, and a daughter named Elishiba.
Yeah, that's where shit started getting religious weird. Homeschooling a kid named Elishiba?
Yeah. Elishiba?
It's E Ollie? With an E.
Oh, Elisha. Yeah,
it's like Ellie, E-L-I, and then Sheba.
Eli.
But, Eli Sheba.
The name got biblical and I got weird. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that was a weird name. But and then his wife is Vicky Weaver, and she was very religious. She wanted to move on the compound, not necessarily because of the homeschooling and the government thing. She wanted to move to this secluded area because she was sort of an apocalypse person.
Yeah, they were very prepper, anti-New World Order, they were conspiratorial. They thought that the shit was about to hit the fan and society was going to collapse.
And supposedly she followed a group of beliefs that some people call Christian identity, which deals with the apocalypse and deals with seclusion and militia and prepping and all that kind of stuff. And it's a belief system. The Christian identity belief system is a belief system that's very popular among skinheads and different Aryan groups and white supremacists. So they ended up sort of in this mindset, you know, with these sort of people as allies to them. But they moved up totally off the grid, et cetera, in the 80s and lived there fairly peacefully, you know, for quite a while.
What's with the government giving a fuck about you living off the grid, though? Because it's like they fuck with people. Like I watched some stuff about people that just want to be like off the grid, solar panel, have some chickens. They're like, no, you can't have solar panels. We need to run fucking power to your house. You cannot do that. Like, why do they give a fuck? Is it because they don't want shanty towns popping up all over? There has to be some kind of regulation.
It's just control. But if
you own your fucking land and you dig a well and you have some solar panels, why won't people just leave you the fuck alone?
You own your land, but you don't own your land.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like that's the farmers States, yeah. own their land too, and the cattle ranchers own their land too. But guess
ultimately
what?
Ultimately, the United States
owns the land.
Yeah, you're in the United States.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, it's, you know, if they want it, they'll create some sort of situation to take it.
And it really is a control thing. I think the collective would happen. Like if you let people do that shit, then lots of people start doing that. And then all of a sudden, you got these people that think they don't need the government.
You don't pay
taxes.
That's
what happens. Yeah.
Like you move out there, you're not working, you're
not using your road. I'm not using your utilities. I don't need your police. I don't need your firefighter.
I'm not paying
your fucking taxes. Yeah. You're right. That's
and
exactly
they want their tax money.
Yep. Right.
And the Fed wants its tax money because that's what it's about. It's just money. It's simple.
Right. Simple. Kind of sounded like George Bush right there.
Shample.
Simple.
Shample.
I want to try, but every time I just fucking McConaughey Clinton comes out. Every impression I do anymore is McConaughey Clinton.
Like do Sean Connery. I didn't put on any deodorant.
What's that? You're supposed to say some Sean Connery shit in a Matthew McConaughey Clinton voice.
I did, didn't I? I don't know.
How many dragons do you know? I can't do it without bleeding into Connery.
I'm going to spare everybody and not even try it.
Yeah, do it. Go. Do it. Do it.
I don't have it.
Do it.
Losers always whine about their best. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
See? You nailed it. Way better than mine. Mine was horrible. Yeah. Mine was dog shit.
Ours were bad. Yeah.
So I always came in at the end of the story during the standoff, during all this shit. And because I don't trust the federal government either, my assumption was always this was a pure 100% federal government clusterfuck. But when I read into what supposedly led up to it, I'm like, well, I can't believe this didn't happen sooner, to be perfectly honest, because I was kind of surprised by the wind up to what happened. So in the 80s, like once he moves up there and he's in the cabin, he starts attending meetings of the Aryan Nations, and everyone always pluralizes it. It says Aryan Nations, like mm-hmm. in every article I read. It's not just the Aryan Nation. Well, because
it's probably referring to the factions, you know what I mean? As a whole, it's the Aryan Nation.
Maybe.
Yeah. I wouldn't know or anything. I just allegedly. Yeah.
And he would attend meetings at Aryan Nations compound in Hayden Lake, Idaho. Supposedly, from all accounts that came out afterwards, et cetera, he was never a member of the Aryan Nations, but he shared a lot of their white supremacist, anti-government belief systems. But he was never like a card carrying member of,
oh, there's
of
a that card? Particular
group. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's the
you
phrase.
Guys see my wallet anywhere, man? If you do, just hand it back to me, man.
Why don't is go, it always like if you're I guess if you're white and you meet up and you're anti-government, you're Aryan, like some sort of like Nazi affiliation?
Well, they were.
Oh, okay.
I think it's it was a flat out Aryan Nation compound.
So did they have like bathrooms for coloreds, or if you were there and you were colored, you just couldn't go to the bathroom. So you're fucked.
No, you were not allowed.
I don't think you were there.
Mm-mm.
I think
what if you were?
Okay. I'll speak.
What
to
if
that.
You like, if you just stumbled upon the meeting and you walk in and
your bathroom would be your pants.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm saying.
Like, you know what happened? You know what would happen? Fucking nothing. They'd probably be fucking nice. Like, I don't think so.
You haven't been to a meeting lately, have you?
That's some deep wood off shit right there. I don't think
it's maybe true. Now, like right now, maybe 2016, maybe in 1983 or 4 or 5, I think you're different. Like
6 or 7.
Yeah. I think if you walked in there with some Jordan 3s on, you'd be fucked.
So he and a friend of his named Frank Kumnick, they think that even though they were attending these things, there was some evidence that came out that they were both part of a group called the Covenant, the Sword, and the Arm of the Lord.
Mm. Fuck yeah,
which
man.
Which is nice because it rhymes.
Right. Plus,
you know, it's mm-hmm. kind of its own poem.
It looked cool under the shield on my arm.
So, which was obviously a very politicized, you know, group. But they think he might have been a member of that, but he wasn't a member of the Aryan Nations meetings. But he would go regularly to these meetings. During this same phase, and this is when he first starts to sort of land on some radars. In 1984, he had a land dispute with his neighbor, a guy named Terry Kinnison. And Randy Weaver ended up winning and settling in court for like, I don't remember, like $2,600 or $3,000.
It was a $3,000 settlement. It was the argument. And then $2,100 was like legal fees.
What was it about? Was he pissed off about his neighbor's fence? Like the fence was fucked up.
Yeah.
Had weird caps on it. Mr. Miyagi lived in the backyard.
Those are my logs.
Yeah. Fucking damn Japs living in the backyard. I'm suing.
All they do is sit in trees.
All they do is sit in them damn trees.
You know why I'm so fucking upset is because that motherfucker built that fence and it's on the outside by the street. But we share a fucking fence. It's only a matter of time.
Didn't he fix your fence? Yeah, well, he's going to fix your fence.
Fix by building some overly complex, ornate fucking thing that's going to leave his backyard open to my... He's going to burn our house down. The other night, he's like burning fucking branches in an old washing machine fucking tub on the patio. And the whole time, he was luckily spraying, because he's a fucking water monster, spraying the fucking trees and fence because his fire was so crazy and out of control that he had to regulate with the fucking hose to burn whatever the fuck he's burning. He was just constantly spraying the fence and the trees above it.
Why is it weird for the washing machine drum? I have one of those. They're nice fire pits.
You're fucking tier 4 or whatever, man. I still don't understand it. I don't get it.
That has nothing to do with tier 4.
Yeah, it has nothing to do.
You can't buy it at Lowe's, man. Don't burn in it. I don't know, man.
You got problems.
Whatever. Anyways, he's going to tear my fucking fence down, man.
You could have called the fire department.
Didn't you have an issue with like doorknobs or something before? Like,
because he didn't have any doorknobs on his fucking house.
What the fuck is it? What does it matter?
It's a nice neighborhood, man. You're wrecking it, man. It's fucking, He's got like everything's half under construction constantly.
He just wants to live off the grid and be left alone.
Yeah.
Then he needs to get the fuck off the grid.
It's his own property. It's his own property.
It's not.
It's his own property. He can do with.
He's renting, man.
So he can do with the
somebody's property. He's fucking up, man. I don't like it.
So in 84, they settle this lawsuit, and apparently the neighbor, Terry Kinnison, ends up telling people that Weaver wrote letters that threatened to kill the president, the Pope, and the governor of Idaho.
How did the governor of Idaho make that list?
Well, he's in Idaho. It just, you're going to make the
that's,
list.
That's what made it questionable.
Yeah. So the FBI.
And the local grocery store
not
manager.
Not the potato king.
No. Yeah. The FBI. The
mash
secret,
his potatoes.
Motherfucker. The Secret Service and the Boundary County Sheriff's Department end up formally investigating. They brought him and his wife Vicky in and interrogated them for hours to confirm or deny whether or not he wrote these letters threatening I don't think they probably gave a shit about the Pope. I think they were mostly concerned about the president.
Pope's dope.
And the FBI. That would have been Reagan, I believe, he would have threatened. Mm-hmm. And long about this time, through this investigation, that's when they discover that he was attending these Aryan Nations meeting, but he wasn't a member. And this investigation is what sort of leads to the point that he might have been part of this group called the Covenant, the Sword, and the Arm of the Lord. So these investigations start to do stuff. But again, even in 84, we start to get the beginnings of some weirdness that Weaver
is up to.
People
just fucking with him. He just got like a neighbor dispute and someone's, I mean, it could just be that guy's talking shit, saying that motherfucker won in court, so I'll give him some shit and say he threatened the president, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but they investigated it. He was never arrested. He was never arrested. Right. There, nothing came of it. He was let go. But
that's back when you could do shit and get away with it. You know, the guy shot Reagan fucking is like running around now. He's out.
Yeah. He just
well,
got
yeah, it's recently. Been 20 years.
Yeah. It's been a long fucking
still
time.
Though. How gangster is that? He gets to walk around free and just be like, I fucking shot the president back in the fucking 80s. He's just at the grocery store buying fucking cauliflower and shit, thinking like, yeah, I shot the president one time. Now I'm making dinner. Or that's fucking crazy.
Or
dude.
He's plotting to shoot the next president. I mean,
yeah, that's what
other.
I'm saying. Like, you shouldn't ever be like, you couldn't do
Why?
That now. They put you at Guantanamo. You never fucking see you again, man.
Well, there's child molesters that are out, which I think is worse than shooting the president.
That's true.
True.
So
shooting the president's just big though. It's like, you know what I mean?
I mean,
how can you be driving through the fucking, the Taco Bell drive-through? And one time you shot the president, but now you're getting a fucking bean and cheeseburger.
I'm glad you put him
the
on a
contrast
pedestal
is crazy.
Over the child molester molesting children.
Yes. That's not a pedestal in any way. I'm not putting a value system on
but
it.
I just
he's probably really
it.
Sad. He probably...
No, lots of people fucking molest children. A couple guys fucking shot presidents. That's all I'm saying.
That's yeah. true.
Yeah.
You put him on a
he's
pedestal.
Probably really, he probably goes in. He goes into Taco Bell. He's like, yeah, I'll get 2 bean burritos and a chalupa. I shot the president with.
Yeah.
And a large Mountain Dew.
He constantly listens to Who Shot Ya.
The newspaper article sitting in his passenger seat and shit. He's like, can I get a drink here? Let me just move this real quick.
Well, let me just move this. It's about that guy who shot the president. That was me.
Did you read it? No, you should really read it.
You guys remember the time that guy shot president?
Did you hear that guy that shot the president just got out of prison?
Oh,
yeah, that's me.
You said you wanted to see my license?
So that's not impressive. Have you ever molested a kid?
No, but I punched one.
Yeah. Okay, so that I tried. It was weird. Then so that happened in 84. In 85. And I had a hard time figuring out exactly what this was. Randy and Vicky Weaver filed an affidavit with the county courthouse alleging that their personal enemies were plotting to provoke the FBI into attacking and killing the Weaver family.
Sounds like they were right. I mean,
so they in 85, they put this at the courthouse and said that their enemies were going to provoke the FBI to come and kill them. And then on May 6th of 85, they sent Ricky and Vicky Weaver sent a letter to President Reagan claiming that Weaver's enemies may have already sent a letter to President Reagan threatening his life.
Sounds like a fucking neighbor problem. I mean, I think I had problems. Like, this motherfucker.
Like, or this motherfucker was going around talking about killing the president, and people were like, you know, this guy keeps talking about killing the president. Like, that's the other, you know, conversely.
He's like, why are my enemies talking about I'm trying to kill the president? I'm just trying to kill the president.
So, yeah. So in 85, they say our enemies are going to get the FBI to kill us, and they write a letter to President Reagan.
That's their alibi.
Saying... Yeah. our enemies are going to write a letter to you saying we're going to kill you, but we didn't because we just wrote you a letter telling you we're not going to kill you and that our enemies are going to write you a letter saying,
can you come to our house so we can kill you?
I mean, so our enemies can kill you.
What level do you have people that just don't like you and you have enemies? Like, that's a fucking legit, like, definition.
Did the president get the letter? I mean, did it fucking matter? Like,
apparently the White House got this letter.
Yeah.
But they never got there was no evidence of a letter coming in that threatened his life. Hmm. So the letter that they wrote, the letter warning him about, apparently never showed up at the White House.
Oh, never mind. Just kidding.
Yeah. We're just psych. Just kidding.
In the '80s, it would have been psych.
Too. It would have been psych. Yeah. I was aiming for that. Yeah. Try to be historically accurate.
Scratch. You remember that one?
Nah.
Moded.
Oh, moded, yeah. Said that. Moded. You got moded.
What was scratch?
It was like a burn.
That's lame.
Yeah. I didn't make it up, dude. Nor did I use it.
That's lame.
I went to a multicultural school. Yeah. One time, like a big ass a 6 foot tall fifth grader. She was a girl, too. And she was black. She was giant. She slapped the fuck out of me.
She
got
to be black.
I can't help. She was black. She slapped the fuck out of me. Like, I was standing in line. I remember being like the second grade, I think. And I'm standing in line, lined up in my thing. And this big ass black girl comes up to me and said,
Now she got a big ass.
No. Actually, she did.
Was she loud too?
Look, I'm sexist and racist. Let me finish
my
story.
Was she fucking loud too? Was she yelling in the hall?
Loud.
You could hear her coming?
Yeah, I could from across the campus. She didn't even wait to be into a personal fucking speech zone. She was talking way too soon from a fucking distance greater than I was socially comfortable with. Anyways, Dave's looking at me all crazy. Like,
I want to get to the slap. I don't.
I'm a little kid, dude. I was like second grade, and she walked up and she said, "It's about time. It's about space. It's about time I slap your face and slap the fuck out of me." Out of nowhere, I did jack shit about it because she's fucking giant.
You know what they call that? You got orangutan fingered.
I was still scared of black people back then. That's what's my whole problem right now. Traumatized. Scared of big black women now. Yeah.
Is that why you're on the other side of the table from Dave?
It's why he's never watched a Madea movie.
I don't watch them.
That's why he doesn't like scary movies.
Even if Eddie Murphy dresses up like a black woman, I can't do it.
You never watched Big Mama?
Nope, Big Mama's House. Right. When we had pancakes, I got to get a different brand. Dude,
Friday?
I can't do the Aunt Jemima. That shit fucks
you. You never watched Friday?
Mrs. Butterworth.
No, Mrs. Butterworth? Damn. Uncle Ben's Rice?
Uncle Ben's Rice, I'm fine with.
Oh, okay. It's black women.
I'm friends with black men. I mean, Dave's one of my best, but fucking.
Oh, so you can eat like Sweet Baby Ray's, you're good with.
Yeah.
But, man, this is rough.
Yeah.
You had a rough
I could be friends like on social networks, but in person, I get a little bit of anxiety. I got slap flashbacks. Yeah.
Damn. Shell shock.
She fucking chupacabra'd you early, dude.
Yeah.
She got
shaking and shit. I'm shaking right now. Look at me.
So Brent hates black people, but let's get on to the story.
Speaking of people who hate black people, Randy Weaver ends up meeting at one of the Aryan Nations meeting in 86. He meets an ATF informant named Byerly, mm-hmm. who is working for the ATF. And apparently, and again, this whole story goes on for quite a while because apparently, according to Byerly, they first met in 86. And then in 89, he bought two sawed-off shot. Byerly bought two sawed-off shotguns.
Allegedly
bought two.
His original request
shotguns.
Was for machine guns. Like, he infiltrates that fucking Aryan group, the informant, mm-hmm. Byerly, and then he makes friends. That's his connection is Randy. And then he says, "Hey, I need to get some guns. Like, can you help me out?" And he's like, "I need to get some machine guns." And he's like, "I don't fucking sell machine guns. Like, I got nothing on that." Like, he picks the wrong guy, really. He's like, "Well, can you give me some guns?" He's like, "I got a couple shotguns." Allegedly, this is from Randy from Weaver's story too. And he says that he did not saw off those shotguns. So he says he sold them two regular shotguns and homie sawed them off. So that's where the story gets
Yeah, because if you're a prepper, you wouldn't really want to saw off your shotgun.
Probably, I don't know, maybe. That's like some fucking crowd control riot.
For that enclosed.
Not really.
I mean, shack control, I guess.
You're not shooting in the house, though.
Like, you also would be sketchy about some dude being like, "Hey, man, give me some machine guns." Okay, fine. I'll just take some shotguns. Could you saw them off for me?
Well, if you're all kicking it with this guy for 3 fucking years at your Aryan Nation barbecues, you're probably cool with selling him a gun.
So he says he sold him two shotguns, though, and they're sawed off. And to be clear, they were a quarter of an inch under the legal limit.
Right.
So 17 and three quarters.
we're not talking. He didn't fucking sell like, you know, rocket propelled grenades or something. No. He fucking sold two shotguns
some
that were sawed a
fucking
little bit.
Garage. Yeah.
And this is one of the key things that leads to the standoff is this alleged sale of shotguns.
This sawed off shotguns. Like I don't get it. Like they do less damage.
Well, it's if for the spray, you know, it's for close quarters.
And for less concealability.
Damage. Less like damage.
You can tuck it in a trench coat or, you know, you can hide a sawed-off shotgun.
Yeah.
But you can't hide
it. Like moving in a vehicle and shit.
I want to do the most damage I can to your face, though.
Right, right.
Like, I'm using
but if you got a big-ass fucking skeet-shooting shotgun with a fucking hunting barrel in the passenger seat and you go to grab that shit, it's banging off the roof of the car and shit. You know what I mean?
That's if you're unskilled. It's very unskilled.
Nah, there's only so much room.
No, that's good. You don't drive a fucking Prius.
I'm hunting a Miata.
That's why you don't drive a Prius.
I'm hunting a Miata, man.
I know. Convertible, motherfucker.
No.
Convertible.
It's not convertible. It's convertible now because I didn't saw my shotgun
top
off.
Goes
a big
down,
fucking hole in the roof.
Price goes up. You should know that.
I used to sell cars. I do know that, man.
So did you guys see the weird thing about the FBI informant tipping him off about the ATF informant or some weird thing?
That's because they were buddies.
Because I couldn't find anything more on this, but one of the things that I read said that an FBI informant named Rico Valentino tipped off the Aryan Nation security that Byerly was an ATF informant.
Funny, his name was Rico.
And I thought that whole thing was very strange. Like, why would an FBI agent tip off security that there was an ATF agent?
Because it was Keanu Reeves and he's like fucking up.
Maybe it was a setup or something.
Just like when they raided those surfers' houses and Keanu Reeves fucked up the other. They've been watching for 6 months and Keanu Reeves fucked it up. Remember?
Because he fell in love with them. I mean, who doesn't fall in love with Patrick Swayze?
When the Chili Peppers kick your ass on the beach.
I mean, if he wasn't dead, I'd fuck his cancer ridden body. Oh, I mean.
Oh. This will be our final show.
The whiskey's kind of kicking.
Yeah, the whiskey. The whiskey is doing.
Now I remember why Brad doesn't drink.
The tongue is loose, baby.
Oh, it's loose, all right.
So yeah. I didn't.
I don't know.
Find anything more on that, but I had read one brief mention of that. I thought that was strange.
Yeah, it just says he was tipped off, blah de blah de blah, and then skips over, and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Like that was weird.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they trick him into doing the shotguns, and then try to use it as leverage for him to become an informant himself.
That's correct.
Right? Yeah.
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 What other
groups do you know? He's like, I just live by myself in a cabin.
Like, right. Well, they told him, like, you know, they end up, you know, Byerly says, you know, I'm in the ATF. You bought these illegal, these illegal guns. You need to be an informant on us and get deeper into the Aryan Nations.
Think
and
how
do
much shit
stuff.
He doesn't have, though. That guy goes 3 years and all he ends up doing is fucking two sawed off shotguns and he goes for it.
Right.
And blows his cover. He's like, fuck, I'm in the ATF. It took three years to get you to sell me two fucking shotguns.
That's
what happened. They're pissed because they had nothing. Shouldn't we
take another angle, fellas? Yeah. Like, come on.
Hold out for a grenade or something.
Yeah, something. Give me a fucking grenade. Like, and if that was the worst shit going down at that Aryan Nations compound, the ATF should have bailed.
Move on.
Like a long fucking
time. Catch him doing sodomy.
Like, 3 years of his life, though. He's like, fuck it. I'm getting
something.
I gotta
get something. He had fucking...
I guess. Maybe it's a pride thing, yeah. Maybe he's like, I know they got some stuff going on, and he's telling his boss.
Weapons of mass destruction. It was one of those situations.
Weapons of mass destruction.
We're all in, man. Fuck it. Whether they're here or not, we're fucking you up, man.
Donnie Brasco over here. Jesus Christ. So. In 1990, a grand jury ends up indicting him for...
They file the gun charges against him because they threatened to file the gun charges if he doesn't turn informant. He says, I'm not fucking doing it because for one, allegedly he sold him the guns, yes, but he doesn't admit to sawing them off.
Yeah.
And they're trying to trump up charges of illegal gun manufacturing and or sales.
Right. And that's the thing.
Crazy.
So they end up dropping the sale part and they're pursuing him for making and possessing illegal firearms, not for the sale.
Which sounds crazy. Like you have a mill in your fucking garage or something.
Fucking hacksaw and a shotgun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like fucking hardware store and grandpa's old rifle.
Yeah.
Like, calm the fuck down.
So, And this is the big crime that starts to lead.
But they also tried to get him on bank robber charges. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw something about that. I didn't look very much more into it.
It's like, because I think a lot of this shit is just like, prove otherwise, man, we're going to fuck you up. So, yeah, they get the weapons charges, and then they try to put that he was connected in some way with some bank robbery thing and could prove it in no fucking way. So they had to drop that part as well.
Was that the Swayze thing?
Yeah, I had to do with Swayze. No, actually, that's real. I'm not fucking lying. It had nothing to do with
it. No, I saw a brief line about it, but I didn't see very, very many details. So at this point, after the court is now after him for this particular thing, because he wouldn't go snitch, right? So they tell him, you're going to snitch. He says, fuck you. Then the court comes after him for selling these guns. So ATF agents end up sort of posing on the side of the road as broken down motorists.
Which is fucking weird and excessive.
Yeah. Well, it's how they got Bonnie and Clyde too. So if you're doing something illegal with weapons, don't pull over and help anyone. Don't stop for a motorist.
Yeah.
But they
just yell, should have got AAA. Yeah, as you go by. Yeah.
Yeah. So they end up
shooting at AAA. Fuck off. Like, two very different statements.
So the ATF agents end up arresting he and his wife, and they take him in. He's told of the charges against him. He's released on bail, and he's told, and this gets sketchy too, he's told that his trial's going to begin on February 19th, 1991, right? So this is the charge. This is the court date, et cetera. In January of 1991, so about a month before the trial, they haven't fucking heard from him. He's like, peace out. I'm in my woods. You can go fuck yourselves. So the judge ends up appointing a guy named Everett Hoffmeister, aka the Hoff.
Yeah, he did go by that.
That he would be Weaver's attorney. So this guy, he's now been appointed as the court appointed attorney, and he keeps trying to get in touch with Weaver and can't get in touch with him. Homie's got no phone. He's living off the grid.
Six miles up a dirt road.
He won't return any of the letters that the lawyer is sending him. He's like, dude, we need to talk. He's like, fuck you.
I mean, it's not like you can't find him. It's fucking 6 miles. Like, Jesus Christ.
But come on. If I'm a court appointed lawyer, and this guy has no fucking desire to deal with me, and I've got a fucking overloaded caseload. Fuck this guy. Like, I'm going to keep sending him letters if he doesn't want
to
deal with me.
There was also a ton of clerical errors to add insult to injury on the fact of, like, a couple of things, like the judge changed the case date and only notified the attorney who didn't notify Weaver.
Yeah, no, that was but again, I was waiting to just fucking bust on Weaver's balls, but it's like, how are you supposed to? He's not answering his mail. He's not answering the phone. He has no phone number. All the court can do, and I don't know if the court is expected to do more than that. The court has
put out a warrant.
The court has put out a warrant and informed his lawyer that there has been a date change for the, like, there you go. Like,
certified fucking mail is what you do. You serve somebody. You got to go out there and serve them. That's what happens.
But because of a holiday, the court changes the date from February 19th, 1991 to February 20th, but no one can get in touch with Weaver, and they send a letter to Hoffmeister, aka the Hoff. He sends letter to Weaver, Weaver doesn't respond. So when he never shows up in court,
One of them they did not send a letter though. Like, one of them, it was like, there's a couple occasions of mishap here.
Does he have an address? Like, he just has like a fucking Ridge Jack, Ridge
fucking Plywood Way.
Yeah. Like, really? Does he have an address? Like,
do we have a way to get in touch with him other than sending a letter to his lawyer?
A PO box or something, but you physically probably almost have to go there and serve him.
Right.
But yeah, no, one of the times they notified the attorney didn't actually do it. Another time there was a clerical error where in the letter said the complete wrong fucking date. And so then they put out some fucking bench warrant, and then the attorney tries to show the judge, hey, the letter you guys fucking sent has the complete wrong date. And the judge still denies releasing the bench warrant. He still pursues him with the same aggressiveness, even because they're probably pissed about some of this other stuff.
Yeah, probably.
But damn, back in the day, like, I mean, getting hold of a normal person was probably hard, let alone fucking living on Plywood Way. Like, that's fucking...
Yeah. So, I mean, there is sketchy shit, and the original court date was the 19th, and for all anyone knows, Weaver might have showed up in court on the 19th, and the court didn't happen, and he fucking went home.
Yeah,
like, odds are he didn't. Yeah, he probably stayed in his cabin and said, go fuck yourself.
He's, I was there, man. What are you guys doing? Eating turkeys?
Right.
Fuck.
So
but still, though, I mean...
Right. So on the date of the court date, he doesn't show up. They issue a bench warrant for his arrest. And as soon as it becomes this issue, it becomes the U.S. Marshal Service's jurisdiction. The U.S. Marshal Service, their jurisdiction is to be law enforcement it's the law enforcement arm of the federal court.
Right.
So if someone didn't show up, the marshals get involved. So now the marshals are involved with trying to track him down.
We just gassed up the tank. We never get to drive it, man. Right. We got that fucking helicopter.
And normally marshals are like hunting down criminals who like
Tommy Lee Jones, Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah,
exactly. They blew off their bail. They've skipped town. They're jumping between, you know, state to state.
Dams.
Like these guys are, these marshals are like, you mean homie up on the hill? Like, did he leave? No, he's still up there. No, like the guy up there. Like, yeah. Yeah. And they're like, okay.
At night you can see the light.
Like there he is.
It's like he's right there. Just go talk to him. He's got kids. Like,
so, but again, and this is what I was tripping on. So this is all happening in January. So from March 5th of 1991 through October 12th, the marshals continue to try to negotiate with him, to get him to come to court, to have a peaceful discussion with him. From all accounts, the marshals are regularly trying to talk to him, and they don't want to ramp up the level of aggression. And this guy is like staying in his cabin.
I don't think anyone goes to his house. There. They snuck in the fucking woods and put cameras in the trees and filmed 100 hours of 24/7 surveillance of these motherfuckers.
Because I read multiple articles that said that they made multiple attempts to negotiate his surrender. I don't know what that means. I don't know if they were afraid
letters
to drive
don't
up.
Count yeah
I don't but know
they
if
literally put cameras in the trees. Yep. If you put a camera in the tree, could you have not knocked on the fucking door?
Right.
Yeah, but is he gonna answer?
FBI.
I don't know, but let's talk about, we know his profile as a guy that is sketched out by the fucking government, and he thinks the government's watching him. So you watch him and
put cameras
him, like,
in
put
the
camera
trees.
In the trees. He's like, now they are watching me.
But yeah. I mean, but keep in mind, I mean, the other factor that you do have to equate is if this guy is like telling people, which he did, like, if people come onto my property, I'm going to fucking shoot them.
Right.
Like, a marshal doesn't want that situation. I'm going to keep trying to negotiate with you. Like, if I show up as a marshal and you're just going to fucking shoot me because I'm on your property, you're going to try to avoid that.
I mean, eventually they got to get food. You know what
it's
I mean?
Like, deers, man.
It's,
I'll just
no,
back.
If they just surrounded the property.
I think if you pull up in a law enforcement vehicle calmly and fucking just be like, hey, man, like, you haven't showed up. Like, I'm not trying to arrest you. I need to give you this fucking paper. Like, you're supposed to show up to court.
That's
like
the detail that I couldn't find anywhere. Yeah, what did it mean?
Happen.
What did it mean by attempted negotiation? Were they
happen.
Just sending letters?
We're watching you in the trees. Like, we got 100 hours of video footage of you.
Yeah,
and
they
your
started
wife.
strategically getting helicopters and all kinds of crazy stuff involved, though. It's a fucking husband, wife,
and kids.
Young kids, a baby, and a friend of the family. We're not talking about a fucking crazy ass.
But here's the
compound.
Other thing. Here's the thing I don't understand, though. So if you're marshals and we're supposed to bring this guy in because he fucking skipped court, there's a bench warrant for him, etc.
You're the fucking marshal. Go get him.
I'm waiting 7 months? The fuck?
That's what I'm saying. Surveillance,
what the fuck?
All this
no,
shit.
Fuck that. Like,
your job as the marshal is just to go
the place?
Get them.
Like, go arrest his ass. Like, why did it take 7 months? That's why I was saying, like, I don't know why it didn't happen sooner. Like, this weird escalation that happened, like, they're just dicking around for 7 months, letting this guy, like, not fucking do anything. Like, just.
Or like, if you're just going to sit there for 7 months, just say fuck it and do something else.
Right.
And when he comes into town, catch him.
Right.
You know, or something. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's
fucking idiots. Instead.
Yeah.
They dress up in full fucking camouflage with ski masks.
Well, in Idaho, well, but first there's in Idaho, they dress up like potatoes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and then they kind of roll
all
down
the FBI.
Hill.
Yeah, it's
they roll down the
dresses.
Hill making potato noises. Yeah.
Mr. Pacamo.
What noises do potatoes make?
It's a potato. It's as close as I can get. I don't speak potato, but that's as close as that probably sounded
that was,
racist.
That was gibberish.
If you're a potato, that probably sounded
it was racist to potato, all to, potatoes, but
yeah.
Offensive.
So,
I'm offended.
The thing that really led to it, which is kind of awesome, actually, is that the Geraldo Rivera helicopter incident.
I didn't see this.
You didn't see this?
I started
this,
from
no,
the
this,
camo
this
in
is,
the woods.
This is what leads to camo in the woods.
Yeah.
So because this is happening,
is this Geraldo Rivera with a mustache?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Inevitably.
Full is mustache. Is there any other?
So April 18th, 1992, Geraldo Rivera, at the time he's on a show called Now It Can Be Told, and he ends up flying over the house because he knows that they've been like avoiding the marshals and all this stuff. So he goes up to like do some investigative journalism. He's flying over the house, and the media reports that Weaver fires on Geraldo Rivera's helicopter. Right. So this is what starts to lead to this mounting thing, is that this reporter flew over. They shot at his helicopter. Later, FBI investigations, after all the shit went down, the pilot denied that there were any shots being fired. Everyone in the Weaver family denied it. The friends who were there denied it. The marshals on the scene even denied it. Right. They said, we heard the helicopter. We never heard any gunshots.
Some sensationalized but, media yeah, bullshit.
So fucking
probably.
Rivera was probably like, I think they just shot at us. And stirring then the media ran with it. Right. So,
this is the same Rivera that said he was in Iraq and was never there.
That's right. The same like, guy.
Yeah.
So
like they had fake stages, like they were there really at the, where stuff was going down and they were not there. Like it was this fake stage.
Wow.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
Fake stages.
Oh, they have like, there's so much stuff on YouTube, like where you can see stuff, like they pan over and it like shows like the
It was at Universal
room.
Studios. Yeah. You can see no, the license plate for the DeLorean.
Yeah. What it was fuck? Like Jurassic Park in the background.
Is that a T-Rex?
Yeah. What is a Velociraptor? Velociraptor.
Now you get to talk again. You fucked up. So you get free game to business time.
That's right. So because of these shots, this is what leads them, to the FBI, this is what leads the federal government to write the Ruby Ridge Rules of Engagement, which are different than regular FBI rules of engagement. Right.
Unprecedented. Right? Never been
because
done before.
Because of the alleged shots at the Geraldo Rivera helicopter. Right. But in the middle of this, apparently there was some sort of confirmation hearings that dealt with the U.S. Marshals. So all the marshals that were on scene basically got pulled away from the case for 3 months. So in those 3 months, the Weavers thought the case is dropped. The feds packed it up. We're cool.
Right.
And then they ended up coming back later on, right? Yeah. Even stronger. So
well, you shouldn't have shot at Geraldo.
Yeah, you shouldn't have shot at Geraldo. That's, you've gone too far.
Yeah.
The man's a national treasure.
Yes.
August 21st, 1992, the marshals end up finally go. This is when they go in full potato, right? This is when they're.
They don't even go in full potato, though. Like, it's like six or seven fucking marshals in camo.
Right.
Which I guess would have been fine if you were going to go knock on the fucking door back in the day. But like, if you sneak on someone's property in fucking camo with MP5s and ski masks to a guy who was like a member of an Aryan militia who is against the fucking government or against like, get off my property.
This is, I mean, it's pretty simple. Like the dog's barking.
Yeah.
You know why the dog's runs, barking?
Because there's fucking potatoes in the bushes.
Because the potatoes are throwing rocks at the house to see what the dog's reaction would be.
So the dog's barking. Fucking Weaver runs down the hill.
Not Weaver. Well, the kid.
The other Weaver. Fucking his last name should be Weaver, right? He runs down the hill. They fucking shoot the dog, and then they shoot him.
Yeah, this gets sketchy. So this is the event that leads to the standoff.
Yeah,
this is
nothing less. If you go on their property, that's a 14-year-old boy. He thought he was chasing a rabbit.
He might have had a gun with him because you're going to go out. The dog, something is attacking.
No, they do.
The dog.
So the son and the guy have guns.
So, okay, so let's break it down chronologically. Yeah. So the potatoes are there. They throw rocks at the house to try to see if the they're doing it on purpose. They're allegedly there doing recon. They're seeing what defenses, et cetera, et cetera. But they throw rocks at the house to see if the dogs are going to bark. And
typical recon.
Right. And when this happens, so Samuel Weaver, along with Papa Weaver, come out with their dog Striker to see what's going on. They end up at this like this trail 500 yards away from the cabin. And this is where all the reports are different. The reports of all the marshals on scene, the reports of the Weavers, the reports, all the reports of what happened in this firefight do not line up in any way.
Of course.
Of course. Like there's just no, I mean, even between the marshals, they don't. You would think that they would have got their stories together, but it's like even those don't lie. Like there's no alignment here. But what is known is that at one point, most of the accounts are that Samuel or that I keep forgetting his first name, the main Weaver, Randy Weaver. In some of the accounts, they say that he yelled back off marshals and get out of here and things like that because of federal marshals. But in some accounts, he didn't yell anything like that. It's sketchy. All that we know is that Marshall killed their dog, shot and killed their dog. A marshal shot and killed the 14-year-old son, Deegan. Samuel, in the back.
Yep.
And that Marshall Deegan is shot and killed.
Yep.
And all the rest of it is sketchy. Like, no one's sure the order of events. Right. Did they shoot the dog first?
I watched an interview with Randy Weaver. From his portion of the story, it was this. The dog's barking, and they live out in the woods. They didn't necessarily think anything was going on anymore, because if you did think marshals are down there, you're not sending your 14-year-old boy, probably. I mean, he's a mountain man, and maybe he's like, that's my son. He's a man now. He's got a gun. Right. But probably
send
not.
Send him out. Get them potatoes,
so,
boy.
Him and the house guest, which I can never remember that guy's name, the other guy that lived with them. I can't think of his name. The son and that guy went down, and then all of a sudden they're staring fucking face yeah. at a bunch of marshals. They kill the fucking dog, and the kid, the young 14-year-old kid, fires because he's like, what the fuck, they just killed my dog. He fired. They yeah. fire back, pretty much blow off the kid's fucking arm. He gets hit in the arm, turns around and runs, I'm coming home, dad. Horrifying and fucking sad. And Weaver yells, it's an ambush, boys, like, come back. And when the kid turns around to come back, they spray him up the back with an MP5. He drops dead. The house guest, whatever his name is, runs back and says they killed him. He's dead. They fucking run in the house or whatever, and they start firing back. The marshals run 2 miles through the woods to a neighboring house and call 911 from a phone. Like, they legit just call the police. Yeah. They call 911 and say that they're pinned down in the woods. So that's the first part that comes. They say that they're pinned down by like a fucking militia or some shit. They're being fired right. on.
But when really, that's not really
a little boy ran up with a rifle. They killed his fucking dog, and he was like, what the fuck, shot back at him.
Yeah.
They killed a little boy. The other guy runs back. Well, they go get the body. They put it in the little guest house. And when Randy's going to the guest house to check on
his
son's,
you're getting ahead.
Well, that's where that's the whole story of like right. where that little altercation happened.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
the
yeah.
big thing that happens is that they think there are marshals pinned down in the fucking woods by like a militia that's firing upon them with hundreds of rounds of bullets.
Well,
it's just not the case.
Regardless, though, one of the marshals is shot and killed.
Yeah.
In the altercation.
Oh, that's right. Right when they kill the boy, the dude holds up rifle and shoots him in the chest right. and kills that guy.
So,
yeah.
And that was when Deegan.
Yeah. Which though, by all accounts,
someone's on your property. They just killed your fucking dog. You don't know who they are. They're not necessarily identifying themselves as law enforcement.
He's in a pretty good legal position, like right, self defense.
And that's the thing.
Somebody just shot somebody.
There was
they shot first.
Yeah,
the
a
guy named Jess Walter had a quote, and he said, the FBI is getting information on this case from the marshals. They aren't told the Weaver's son has been killed. They aren't told there's some question about who fired first. They're only told that some marshals were in the woods surveying Randy Weaver, possibly to arrest him when he and his family attacked him and killed the U.S. marshal.
Right. So it's misinformation
like
on
one of the
both fucking sides.
That,
yeah.
Right. But, and even the, if I can find it, there was even a quote from, one of the guys from the FBI who even says that the whole thing was fucked up. I can't find the quote in my notes right now.
Said, and I quote, the whole thing is fucked up.
Right, the whole thing was fucked up. But I mean, he even said, you know, and he was the assistant director of the FBI, but in a nutshell, like in a memo that he wrote, and I can't believe I'm not finding it, he said that by all accounts, all that Randy Weaver knows is there are people in the woods firing at he and his
right.
sons, and that they're firing back.
They should have said, freeze, fucking U.S. Marshal, and at worst get bit okay. by a fucking dog or something, and you know what I mean? Not start shooting the...
Right.
Don't shoot someone's fucking dog. They're
right.
gonna fucking react.
Yeah,
okay,
he said, is it the... He described the incident before the U.S. Senate hearing investigation...
No, this was a memo that he wrote. And I just found it. Assistant Director Danny Colson, he writes a memo called OPR 004477, and it just said something to consider. One, charge against Weaver is bullshit.
Right.
Two, no one saw Weaver do any shooting. Three, Vicky has no charges against her. Four, Weaver's defense. He ran down the hill to see what dog was barking at. Some guys in camis shot his dog, started shooting at them, killed his son. Harris did the shooting of Deegan. Weaver was in pretty strong legal position.
Absolutely.
That was a memo
Absolutely.
From the
yeah.
assistant director
well, and this is,
of the FBI.
And in the aftermath, the FBI director, Louis Frey? He said that he described it as the investigation as synonymous with the exaggerated application of federal law enforcement, and stated that law enforcement overreacted at right. Ruby Ridge.
Absolutely.
That was from the director.
And I think what happens is like in the Waco situation is once they lose face, the fucking they go ego crazy
yeah, they
and
do.
Think that they can just, if everybody dies, no one can
just
say shit.
Yeah.
It's our word against
dead
yours.
Men tell no tales.
Yeah.
So the marshals are kind of fucking Keystone cops fumbling around, recording shit, fucking up. But then as soon as one of the marshals gets killed, the jurisdiction shifts.
Yeah.
Now now it's the FBI because a federal agent has been shot and killed. Right. So the FBI sends a special hostage team in, a hostage rescue team, on August 22nd. That shootout happened on the 22nd. By the end of the day, the FBI has sent a special team from Quantico to surround the cabin and the start the siege.
The top snipers in the country.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the rules of engagement in Ruby Ridge. Okay, first off, the standard rules of engagement from the FBI are as follows. Agents are not to use deadly force against any person except as necessary in self-defense or the defense of another, when they have reason to believe they or another are in danger of death or grievous bodily harm. Whenever feasible, verbal warning should be given before deadly force is applied.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to shoot.
At the time, that was the, you know, federal agent, I'm about to open fire, yep, drop your weapon. Like, so, but only stop. When there's...
You know, I
so
have that, my potato suit on, exactly. You know who I am.
So that was the standard FBI procedure. The rules of engagement for Ruby Ridge that the FBI wrote up after Geraldo got shot at because his mustache is very precious, came in three stages. One, if any adult male is observed with a weapon prior to the announcement, prior before we even say freeze, deadly force can and should be employed if the shot can be taken without endangering any children.
Yeah.
So if you see a guy with a weapon, shoot to kill, whether we've announced ourselves or not. That's rule
without
number one.
Without endangering children, except if you're shooting children.
Right, exactly.
Then it's okay.
Right, then it's fine. You didn't that was your intent. Endanger, wasn't endangering.
Shot the child.
Rule number two, if any adult in the compound is observed with a weapon after the surrender announcement is made and is not attempting to surrender, deadly force can and should be employed to neutralize the individual. Three, if compromised, if compromised by any animal, particularly the dogs, that animal should be eliminated. Any subject other than Randall Weaver, Vicky Weaver, Kevin Harris presenting threats of death or grievous bodily harm, the FBI rules of deadly force are in effect. Deadly force can be utilized to prevent the death or of oneself or another. So rules one and two, shoot anybody that's got a gun under any circumstance. Right. Rule number three, shoot any fucking dogs you see. And if there's anybody else, then
just to close the loophole.
Anybody not in a potato suit.
Right.
And these are the same rules that they used at Waco.
Basically.
They changed them and then used the same thing and just fucking killed everybody.
So then at this point, they take a bunch of negotiators in an armored truck, something that should have happened a fucking year earlier.
Right.
You know, they take a bunch of negotiators in an armored truck. I did. And they send them up the hill to try to start negotiation with him. But before the truck can get there, some shit goes down. So the negotiators are en route to the house when
The baby gets sniped.
Lon Horiyuchi.
The baby doesn't get sniped.
Yeah. Lon Horiyuchi.
I thought they shot the mom.
No, the baby was fine. Baby ended up okay.
It's we're almost there.
Well, they fucked up there.
Yeah.
They came really close to getting the 3-for-1 right there.
Yeah, they almost did. Yeah. So Lon Horiyuchi, and this is a name who came up in our Waco episode, because Waco happened shortly after Ruby Ridge and Lon Horiyuchi was the sniper in both of these cases. So,
I'm surprised they reveal his name ever. Like, how are you not the guy in the ski mask that nobody fucking knows?
No, and that's the executioner. I even read that fucking Timothy McVeigh, after these shootings, was going to gun shows, passing out cards with a guy's name on it and fucking hoping people would track him down and shoot him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so to the same thing, that guy drives through the Taco Bell drive-thru and fucking orders 2 bean and cheese burritos and goes like, I fucking snipe some fucking lady right in the head while she held.
What's your body count, sir?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So as the negotiation truck is driving up the hill, Harris, their friend Weaver, and their daughter Sarah go to the cabin where young Sammy's body is, or in the shed outside of the cabin. So the three of them leave the cabin to head to the shed where the body is, and the assumption is to start prepping him for funeral arrangements or something like that. And 200 yards away,
while they're surrounded, they're prepping him for funeral arrangements. Like, that doesn't make
that
sense.
That is weird. But anyway, they were heading to the shed.
They're weird. They would have had the baby there. They would have done, you know, they would have done that type of stuff. But what I saw on the interview with Randy was that they were out front, but he walked to the, they weren't even really out there. Just Randy walked to the guest house to look at their son's body. And as he reached up to undo the latch, he was shot through the shoulder from the back. He got shot in the back through the shoulder as he reached up for the latch. I mean, that's the words from Randy's mouth himself in an interview.
Yeah, I don't fucking trust what that guy says.
Though. Well, I don't know.
And they weren't prepping him for funeral. So I think they were going to make a skin suit out of him so that the federal agents thought that he was a ghost.
Yeah. Too soon.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, oh, my God, he's back. And they'd all run and
as he
and
gets
scatter.
Sniped and shot, she opens, the wife opens the door holding the fucking baby.
Well, no, because
aside,
because all of the accounts were that their friend Harris and Sarah were outdoors with Weaver.
Are we but believing
the
accounts?
Side house
well, that was,
next
I
to
think
the
that was
house.
Also what the,
cause
I think
standing,
that was also what the footage showed.
Well, cause they're in the doorway is when it happened.
Oh, I forgot about the cameras.
As they're in the doorway, the guy that, what's the house guest? I cannot keep his
Randy.
Name in my head.
Harris.
Harris. Harris is standing next to Vicky in the doorway. Mm-hmm. And the daughter's inside the house. Vicky has the baby in her, and they're holding the door open for Randy to get back inside. He's fucking shuffling shot from the guest house to the front door.
Right. And so Horiuchi claims that he started taking these shots because he thought Harris was armed and planning to fire at a surveillance helicopter. And well, I mean, if those were the standing orders on Ruby Ridge, shoot any motherfucker that you see, then
if they have a gun,
he was just following orders.
Right.
No, if they have a gun,
or a baby.
So when they're getting back to the cabin, he fires again. He ends up shooting Harris as well, and then fires through the door and shoots and kills Vicky Weaver through the door.
No, so that's where. So when she holds the door open, the headshot goes through Vicky and enters Harris.
Right.
The same, it's like the magic bullet thing. The bullet that hits her headshot goes through her and hits Harris.
And the door.
Yeah, it goes through all of it.
I'm assuming it was a pretty hefty sniper rifle.
Paint a picture of a mom one-arming a baby.
Right.
You know where that baby's sitting.
Right.
And for you to get headshot, you're talking about fucking 5-6 inches in any direction.
Right.
The baby's toast.
Yep.
So it went through her head into him and stopped 2 inches from his heart.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at this point,
and she landed next on the floor in front of her 16-year-old daughter.
Right.
And the 16-year-old daughter picked up the baby from her headshot fucking mom and scuttled away.
So Weaver's son and wife have both died within 24 hours.
Yeah.
And again, this guy, Lon Horiuchi, and again, go back and listen to the Waco episode. We talk about this guy, a lot of sketchy shit that this guy did at Waco as well.
And if you're the top sniper, how do you, for one, mistakenly hit a woman with a baby? Like, you're gangster. And then, two, you don't relay that information because at this point, law enforcement doesn't know, one, that the son's been killed yet. So no one still knows that story at that point.
Right.
They definitely don't know that the fucking mom holding the baby got killed yet. He doesn't tell him, like, I just fucking took one out. You know, no one tells that yet.
Right.
So that they don't know. They just still think there's some fucking crazies up there. Meanwhile, to the family, they're getting picked off one by one.
Well, they can't tell anybody. Like, it's just now it's just kill everybody.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, you can't leave anybody alive.
It seems like that's kind of what started to happen.
That's like what's going on. Like, oh, fuck. Like, we shot the boy and we got to kill everybody now.
And I think Horiuchi was just a little bit too much fucking G.I. Joe mode. It's like, oh, he's outside. I'm going to fucking shoot him. Oh, he ran to the house. There's another guy. I'm going to fucking shoot him. I'm going to fucking shoot him. Like, he just starts fucking popping off rounds.
Well, everybody knows Japanese people just set in trees. Just sniping motherfuckers off.
My mom was
He couldn't fucking
my
stop
mom
himself.
Was right. He was genetically predisposed.
Couldn't stop himself.
Yeah. He had no choice.
He had a hankering from some sushi. Yeah. He wanted to just go home, get some sake. He's like, let's fucking get this shit done.
That was racist, man.
Yeah, I know.
And again, I mean, that's part of it. I promise you all these fucking people had, I promise you the Weavers, Harris, they had fucking guns.
Oh yeah. No,
and if the
surveillance
rules,
footage from the cameras in the trees up by the Japanese people, the cameras up there, they were fucking carrying rifles everywhere.
So again, you're in the fucking woods and it's dark and the potatoes are after you. You're going to have they just shot your son for no fucking
reason.
There
could be Chupacabras, Gary Coleman, Bigfoot, anything could fucking be out there.
How many times did they see Gary Coleman?
Exactly.
Yeah. He was fucking there.
Yeah. So, but
he incited it, I think.
He can't be ruled out.
So part of it, even though it's sketchy that he did this shooting at the same time, you know, granted this didn't work with the Nazis and it shouldn't work with him, but he was literally just following orders. He had the rules of engagement were, you see a motherfucker with a gun, you shoot to kill. Right. And he saw two motherfuckers with guns and he shot to kill.
Exactly.
Right. It just so happens that one of them went through a guy and fucking headshotted the wife.
Right. No, it went through the wife and landed in the guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sketchy
details. I can't get my head around what happened at the door. Yeah. Like I tried to read multiple accounts.
It's definitely the same bullet went through her head and landed in 2 inches from his heart.
Yeah.
So it went through the door, hit her in the head.
It goes through his arm and like up into his armpit and lands two inches from his heart.
Cause from what I guess the reason I'm confused is because from what I had read, the account was that he was tracking Harris running in the door and was shooting to hit Harris.
It went through her head first.
Right.
Though.
But if Harris, if she was opening the door and the door was blocking and he was kind of timing, timing it to where Harris should be. And I fired and she happened to be in the way. That's what would have happened.
Yeah. So I looked up Horiuchi and the sniper rifle he used. It was actually a high powered potato gun.
Fucking asshole.
You're very pleased about yourself right now.
I could not laugh. I'm sorry. Oh, man, that was so stupid.
So then they end up, this is all on the 22nd. And the big standoff happens. And even at the time, like this was hitting the news, but it wasn't anything like Waco. Like this wasn't a fucking CNN explosion.
No, the town started to gather though. People started to come from across the country because they're rolling in fucking tanks. They have a huge fucking camp. I mean, they literally have like soldiers out there playing horseshoes and shit.
I mean, it was definitely on the news, but it wasn't the media event that Waco was, you know? And I think Waco was probably bigger because of Ruby Ridge.
Oh yeah. This was the kindling for the fire. Yeah.
And again, like you'll hear like conspiracy. Some people will just say Ruby Ridge because it's synonymous with the government using too much force in a situation where they don't need to. Right. So they end up there until August 30th. And apparently they end up sending civilian negotiators. A white supremacist leader. Was that Bo Gritz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Bo Gritz apparently was a super fucking badass. He was like a white supremacist leader. He was a fucking former spec ops, fucking Vietnam vet. And apparently one of his jobs for a while was to fucking rescue POWs from Vietnam.
He was Rambo.
Yeah. And basically he was fucking, he was redneck Rambo when they fucking sent him in to do the negotiation, him and a guy named Jack McLam and a guy named Jackie Brown. And they end up talking to him and they talk him down and he ends up surrendering on the 30th.
Well, they tried to drive a vehicle in to fucking like run the house down and they don't know why, but like the vehicle, the tracked tank thing that was going to fucking just, they were going to run him over. They stopped and someone went and fucking looked and saw the dead body of the son and went back and told him. And that's what actually called off. They didn't know.
Oh,
yeah. Right. At some point in time, they discovered the body because they stopped short of smashing the house because maybe they wanted to see what he was going in there to look for when they shot him or something, but they find the body and go back and go, oh fuck, hold on. Like this is a different deal. Like we didn't understand. We killed his son. Like,
yeah. And they might've like been like, hey, we need to check the fucking shack for bombs or something. You know, like they run it over and blow themselves up.
Yeah. So they stopped short of doing it. Found the body.
They almost certainly don't know that, and Horiuchi himself probably doesn't know that Vicky has now been fucking shot in the head. Like they probably have no knowledge of that because they slammed the door shut and they didn't see in the cabin. They didn't know.
Days and days
passed
too.
Yeah, this is 8 days later.
Dude's wound gets infected. He's about to fucking die. They have the 16-year-old daughter write out their entire account of the story so that if shit goes down, because they pretty much think they're all gonna fucking die and they're not gonna make it out. So they have her write it down. So at least maybe they have a chance.
So the people that shot them can get rid of
burn
it.
That? Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But so then they send fucking Bo Jingles over there. Fucking Rambo Jingles. They send Rambo Jingles. He's like, waver. It's Bo. And he's like, so they talk it out and he says, hey man, they fucking killed my son. They just shot my wife in the head. He goes back and then the fucking public outcry is like, you fucking baby killers.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? You have a tank at the fucking family. Like, how many of you does it take? And the whole situation fucking changes.
And this is when even when the fucking like top brass of the FBI are like, I don't fucking blame this guy. Like this
so
is fucking
crazy.
So at that
point the negotiation changes to, okay, maybe we can get the fuck out of here alive because now they know the right story. He knows he trusts the fucking Rambo Jingles to tell the story. Now it's been told, it's public and they feel comfortable that maybe they can make it out. So that's when he finally agrees to surrender.
Right. Yeah.
So they end up arresting him. He ends up ultimately getting acquitted of all charges except missing his court date.
Can you fucking believe that? As does the other guy that was with him.
As does Weaver.
Who actually fucking killed someone. The other guy, the house guest.
Well, I mean, I just said Weaver, as does Harris. Yeah, Harris.
And he shot a fucking marshal in the chest.
Yeah, but in self defense, though.
Right. But like, yeah, they both get acquitted.
Yeah.
Yep. So they end up doing like 18. I think Weaver did 18 months and Harris did 22 months.
Yeah.
And by the time they ended up going to court and all that stuff, Weaver was let off with time served.
I didn't even see that. I didn't see that.
Well, he was arrested waiting for trial. So, he was in jail they didn't let him out on fucking bail again because that's what started this whole fucking thing. So it took 18 months for the court date. And by then they said, you're gone now. You can leave now because you've already, time served. But then Weaver still had Harris did 4 more months after the 18 months and ended up getting out.
He got more months.
By 94, Weaver and Harris filed civil rights cases against the FBI and U.S. Marshals because of the siege. And in 91, they even settled Weaver's case for $3.1 million because even the courts were like, this whole thing was fucked up.
God, but your kid and your wife got fucking killed.
Yep, sure the fuck did.
And the trauma of yourself and your daughter.
$3 million.
It's but not worth it.
The daughter seems like pretty level-headed.
Yeah, she does seem pretty level-headed.
But it was crazy. Like she has a nice
compound in the woods.
I was watching. Yeah, and she still was like, I like guns. They showed her shooting and shit. But like the age thing was weird for me because I watched it. She was so young and they're interviewing her. And then I'm watching another documentary. I was like, damn, she got old. And then all of a sudden I was like, damn, she's like kind of an older woman. What the fuck? And then I was like, oh, goddamn, this is like the 90s.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. But to see her like young when you're watching it happen. Right. And then all of a sudden I just saw her. I was like, oh, goddamn, she's an old ass lady.
Right. So, I mean, and again, when I started researching this because again I didn't know much about it. I was just waiting for
I knew people got sniped
and I was waiting to put like 100% of the blame on the FBI, which is what you tend to read. But it's like at the same time, this motherfucker holed up in a shack for almost a year telling the marshals to go fuck themselves.
Yeah. This is the thing, though, sort of
courting disaster here.
Like why? And this is
for
my
good
thing,
reason, like, really, though.
Yeah.
Like that motherfucker, they were being shady as fuck. They fucking kind of framed him.
When there's a fucking arrest warrant for you by the U.S. marshals.
Yeah.
Maybe you, man.
What
maybe
the
not
fuck?
Me.
Yeah, like, but it doesn't deserve you getting killed.
It doesn't deserve you getting killed, but at the same time, it's not like this guy's infallible.
Like, why did this is like the biggest conspiracy theory, people like in conspiracy circle, Ruby Ridge. And you're like, he got acquitted of all the charges. Like, there's no conspiracy here.
Right. It's not like a conspiracy. No. It was a complete fucking overreaction, ego fucking crazy. I want to use my military toys.
I think that's an oversimplification. I think a lot of it was a complete fucking breakdown of communication between different branches of the federal government. The marshals knew that kid got shot and killed, and so did the dog.
But the
FBI doesn't even fucking know that shit.
But what's all the weird Reagan, I'm going to kill the president fucking
weirdness?
Shit in the game?
I don't know.
That part is a little weird.
It's just pissed off stuff. And you don't know. Like, maybe he didn't do it. Yeah. The other thing is too, like one of the things that's fucked up is Horiyuchi got brought up on manslaughter charges, obviously for killing Vicky Weaver. He was acquitted by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Like they actually allowed, Boundary County's motion to dismiss the case. So in 2001, so it was 3 years of just whatever and for 4 years and he got dismissed. So I wouldn't expect him to get brought
thing.
Up on
in,
him anyway.
In 97, he's charged for manslaughter. The judge dismisses the charge in 98. Mm-hmm. The Federal Court of Appeals overrules the dismissed charge and says we're pursuing it. But then a new prosecutor in Idaho just declines to pursue the manslaughter charge.
Yeah.
Like, you've been charged with manslaughter, but the main prosecutor for the state was like, we're not going to pursue it.
Well, you're employed as a killer. You snipe people for a fucking living, and there were special rules of engagement in place.
Yeah, I guess
pretty
that's
solid.
True.
You know what
kill
I mean?
Anybody.
And again, that's part of it. I mean, there were obviously fuck ups. It's weird that those rules of engagement were written in the first fucking place. Yeah. Like, that's
did you
strange.
See it? They show it. It's like written on fucking binder paper, dude.
Yeah.
It was handwritten.
Like, we're
going to
change the law right now.
Yeah.
So maybe the true conspiracy is the power that Geraldo Rivera has.
Yeah. That and
maybe like you fuck with Geraldo Rivera, his fucking mad dog killer Horiyuchi's gonna fucking snipe your
that
ass.
Really is the question we must ask. But I'll probably shave it for later.
Jesus.
Christ. Brad doesn't know what happened. Brad,
I thought you were just angry.
He's like, I'm not.
So I don't know. Like, I mean, there were obvious fuck ups. It was an obvious escalation of violence for sure. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Well, but again, this guy wasn't infallible. He was fucking avoiding an arrest warrant, holed up in a shack, telling the government to go fuck themselves.
I mean, and that's the thing. Like, it doesn't deserve what happened.
No.
Like, I mean, by any means, it doesn't deserve what happened. But that's the thing. Like, people think you're crazy if you go against, you know, oh, well, Waco, you know, I changed my mind on Waco, you know, like they, what happened wasn't, it shouldn't have happened. You know what I mean?
Well, the scary thing is like how a small infraction can escalate into something. You know what I mean? You pull someone over for a taillight, you're an asshole to the cop, he's having a bad day, he loses his temper, he tells you to get the fuck out of the car. You're like, I got a taillight, write me a fucking ticket, go fuck yourself.
But here's,
and he yanks you out of the car, beats the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
Like shit happens.
But here's, over what, the I smallest here's thing. What I don't understand. Like, so if you were in the inner city, right? You're a fucking crack dealer in the inner fucking city and you fucking avoided a court date and the fucking marshals know it and the fucking SWAT team knows exactly where your address is. There's fucking bars on the door. There's a fucking playground across the street. Within 24 hours, the SWAT team is going to drive the tank through your fucking house.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck about kids in the, it's like, I don't understand how this guy got away with this for 7 months. I don't understand how, like, oh, well, there's kids there. Who gives a fuck? Like, if you were a fucking black guy, if you were Hispanic, if you were in fucking LA or Chicago or whatever, the fucking marshals aren't giving you 7 months to fucking sit around in your cabin whacking off. They're gonna fucking bust into your house and shoot your ass.
Yeah, but potatoes, I think it's just potatoes thing different.
Yeah, I think it's just logistics. I think it's when religion comes into it, the Aryan Nation tie thing comes into it, and the fact that he's up in some secluded fucking area. I think those are big factors.
And the guy's pissed off about spending 3 years. The guy's pissed off about spending 3 years trying to catch you up.
There's
on
anti-government shit going on versus like sold some fucking weed.
Yeah.
Like there's different. No, that's crack. Different. Or crack. I wasn't trying to say that, but. Or sold crack. Some crack.
I don't see how it's
still sell crack.
This motherfucker broke the law and they spent 7 months not arresting
him. It's a different county. It's not New York.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not LA. They're in the fucking woods.
It was a bunch of backwoods dudes. That's why.
They should have fucking busted his fucking door down 7 months earlier and just fucking arrested his ass.
Yeah. It seems to me like it was so small town. It should have been like, hey, Frank, we drive up there and talk to fucking Randy, man. This is just getting out of hand. It's been 7 months. I got cameras in the trees, man. Like, the Japanese people are tired of holding them. Can you fucking just be done with this shit? You know?
Them guns are getting heavy for them.
Yeah, man. I mean, how much chicken bouillon they got up there, man? They got to be hungry.
Yeah. Them motherfuckers are like chipmunks.
I have no evidence behind this, but I get the impression that that wasn't even a big factor because he was so fucking anti everything. I don't even know if the fucking sheriffs and all that stuff would have been good old boy with him because I think he hated them just as much as he hated everybody else.
It's called making you an example.
Yeah.
I think that's
your new tank.
Yep.
My mom called me and told me where the term bouillon comes from chicken. Remember, we were like, what is it?
Chicken bouillon?
Yeah, what is bouillon? Why is it called chicken and beef bouillon? You remember we had that discussion?
Yeah.
We were trying to figure out what it was.
I'm surprised you remember.
I only remember because she called and told me and refreshed my memory of the story. I was like, oh yeah, I did want to know what that was. It's because their old ad slogan was, it's good as gold. And that's where bouillon came from.
Gold,
damn.
Bouillon.
Yeah.
That's because, a hell of an ad campaign.
Yeah, it was like,
well, chicken bouillon is gold.
Good as gold is where that term came
from.
That's
interesting. Right. Learn something new every day.
Thanks, right. Mom.
Is it sponsor time?
Yep.
All right. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. It is available at your nearest grocery store, almost certainly, unless you live in Brazil. You can get it on their website if you can't find it there, and you can save some money on it by using code SOFAKING. PrintDirtCheap.com also gives you a discount for talking about us. Use code SOFAKING there to get stickers, business cards, flyers, banners, pretty much anything except for dick pillows because you got to go to Dark Side Graphics to get those. Thank you to Digital Creations for our coffee cups and the stuff they make for us, and thank you to Dan Camarillo at armhunter.com. You can log onto there and buy apparel and instructional DVDs. Mm-hmm. Flowing on that shit.
You did. Yeah, you fucking rattled right through that. That was very professional.
Mm-hmm. I do. I'm talking to my sleep lately.
Yeah.
My wife said she's going to record it. I don't know what I'm saying. Conspiracy stuff, actually. Mm. What'd she say? It was something funny, but I can't remember right now. So now it's just a shitty story. Japanese guys in the trees. Yeah. Other funny stuff, man. Gary Coleman. I think I'm going to invite Geraldo's mustache to the Gary Coleman party, though, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
He needs to be working.
You know what I want to see? I want to see fucking Geraldo's mustache fight Tom Selleck's mustache.
You know what, though? I think Geraldo's mustache has a life of its own. It's just on him, but it thinks on its own.
It only goes out at night.
It goes out at night.
It only goes out. No.
Maybe it does. Do you think it controls Geraldo? Or you
think it does. I think it does. It has to control him to get him to go.
There's googly eyes under there. They kind of.
Well, it has to control him to get Geraldo to go where it wants him to go.
I wonder if
Geraldo is like his vehicle.
I wonder if his mustache got possessed by the ghost of Al Capone when he busted into Al Capone's vault.
Could have.
That did he bust in Al Capone's vault?
Fuck yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Geraldo did?
Yeah. And he claimed the vault shot at him.
It was alive. It was a fucking, I remember, it was a long time ago.
It wasn't even a real.
Who punched him in the nose?
No, it was like this. There was this underground thing that they discovered that was like this cemented in vault that Al Capone had hidden under Chicago. And they had confirmed that this was the location and all this stuff. And it was like this live television event.
I call bullshit though.
No, everybody was all fucking excited about it.
I call bullshit on it.
No. It wasn't bullshit because he fucking broke through. He broke through the cement wall.
And David Copperfield was standing there.
And there was just like some fucking furniture and nothing. And it was a complete fucking flop. Like it was like this super hype. Like, oh, it's going to be fucking gold and fucking all this money and whiskey. And it was like, nope. It's like a fucking dirty
Jimmy
couch.
Hoffa's body.
Like, it was nothing. Yeah. It was just big fucking burn on Geraldo.
Because they didn't move the candlestick on the mantle. That's where the Scooby-Doo wall was. That's they fucked up.
That's right.
Where's this thing at? Let's go.
There was no candlestick. Somebody killed somebody with it.
It's in the bowels of Chicago.
Yeah. Anyway, are we done?
Yep.
All right. Don't be a retard.
Society's brainwashed. Ill Bill. What up? What up? Think you need to let them know what's going on, baby. Time to tell them.
When I'm in the streets, I always remain cautious.
Let's go.
Every society honors its live conformists and dead troublemakers. I'm the son of Satan. Sculpted the culture of the ancients. Burn me at the stake with my left hand stuck in the matrix. I'm the apex. I steal science off of spaceships. Blackwater contractors captured off of camcorders. After mass slaughter, violent massacre. Masters of order. Burning effigies of presidents and American flags. Veterans clash with a chance to sell terror for cash. Babylon destroyed the base of Migdash. Death cults, murder squads, exploding churches and burning mosques. Throw your dice, now your destiny's cast. And these seeds of war were planted over centuries past, and the mysteries remain unsolved. Colossal pyramids on Mars, visitors beyond the scriptures of Allah. God is on the side of the ones with money and large armies. Pray for death amongst these brainwashed zombies. Society is brainwashed.
I bet you can't see what I can see.
That's right. There's a few things we have to address.
I bet you can't see what I can see.
When I'm in the streets, I always remain cautious.
Good, God damn.
November 5th, 2001, less than 2 months after 9/11 occurred. The infamous William Cooper was murdered, ex-naval intelligence officer. But now author of Behold the Pale Horse, he paid the cost. I can't say that I agree with everything that he wrote, but I admire him for speaking his mind, though. Never holding his tongue for nobody, our society is brainwashed. Guns in each other's faces for the same lies. Same everything and same nothing. Same bullshit materialism of the third world man's luxury. This false flag fuckery. An AIDS infested junkie. Your lady, your liberty. Can't fuck me. Can't touch me. The black pope, superior general. Tim Osborne riding like a pie roof from Inglewood. Bring the hood up to a hovering mothership. They already made the switch to the one world government.
I bet you can't see what I can see.
That's right.
There's a few things we have to address.
I bet you can't see what I can see.
When I'm in the streets, I always remain cautious.
Good, God damn.
Amongst the ivory tower witch doctors, witness explosion on the Groom Lake landing strip. The silicon sorceress abandoned ship. Famine gripped the planet with the gigantic satanic fists. Believed to be linked to Al-Qaeda through his sandwich business. I don't advise you to believe these could be camera tricks. All I'm saying is to ask questions, amateurs. But Hollywood tries to pass off as a fantasy. Might have already happened in actuality. And vice versa. If Jesus Christ was a person, who was Mithra? Who was Krishna? Who was the first to be baptized, crucified, resurrected? Betrayed and made into a martyr for someone else's redemption. Old men start wars for young dudes to die in Madison Avenue, telling you what you should be buying. Religion and science always profess peace, but in the end, who created the deadly war machine? Society is.
I bet you can't see what I can see.